Hello, we're glad to have you join us for this week's broadcast. We pray that today's message will be a blessing to you. Our scripture this morning is coming from Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse number 16. The Bible says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahalalel, and Mahalalel begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jubal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And we are looking this morning at dwelling in the land of Nod. And we are looking at Cain. If you remember, as we went through this in past weeks, Cain murdered his brother Abel, and he refused to repent, and he was cursed. Verse number 11 says, "And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain, as he wandered, as he left God's presence, the Bible says he dwelt in the land of Nod. Nod literally means to wander. He was looking for a place to find peace. He was looking for a place to find rest. He did not want to turn to God. He did not want to turn to the one that would provide salvation, and he was destined to wander. He may have thought he found peace, but I believe just as many people today are searching and seeking and looking, trying to find peace. I believe that he was continually searching for peace. I believe he was continually searching for satisfaction. Why do you think that we see people, sometimes even church members, as soon as they get off from work, they stop by the drugstore, they stop by the gas station, and they've got to get a six pack of alcohol. They've got to buy a lottery ticket. They are searching. They are seeking for something that will bring them happiness, but you're not going to find it anywhere. Man is designed to seek after God, and you're not going to find that peace. You're not going to find that rest until you come to Christ, until you come to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's only one place that you'll find peace. There's only one place that you'll find ultimate satisfaction and happiness. That is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is coming to God. When we run, when we flee from His presence, we will never find happiness. This world will never find happiness as they flee from God's presence. We see the burden, but also we see the building coming after that. We see that Cain built a city while Abel built none. The true city of the saints is in heaven, but instead of waiting for the sweet by and by, Cain wanted to hear it now. Doesn't that speak of people today? Instead of worrying about eternity, instead of worrying about what's coming after this life, they want their riches, they want their wealth, they want their fame, they want whatever can make them happy now. But thank God there's something better waiting for us. And we see as we watch as he built this city, we see that there was an alternative place, but we also see there was an alternative life. We see that Lamech, he went in direct defiance of God's word. And in verse number 19, it tells us that he took two wives. Genesis 2:24, God set forth his plan for marriage. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cling unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God had already set forth a plan. He had already set forth the way marriage should be. He had designed man and woman to come together and be one flesh. But Lamech, he went contrary to God's word. He went in direct disobedience to God's word and what God's plan was. And he took himself two lives. There was an alternative place. There was an alternative life. But also, I want you to see there was an alternative goal. Instead of worrying about what would happen in eternity, instead of worrying about the things of God, we see what looked like a very progressive, what looked like a very innovative bunch. In verse number 20, we see Jabal as he introduced ranching, as he introduced the idea and the science of growing and raising animals. We see Jubal, he introduced music. He introduced the instruments and music. We see Tubal-Cain, he introduced the art of forging. These ones, they introduced an industrial revolution far beyond the time that historians would want to expect. But in the Bible tells us what they were doing. They were making instruments. They were creating knives. They were creating tools. They were doing all this. And as you look back and you see what Adam and Eve, when you see the line of Seth, as we look at it further on, we might not think that they were doing much, but we see this people that they had built a city. They had done all this stuff. But you want to know something that's very interesting? The Bible doesn't even record when they die. It doesn't even show us. It doesn't even tell us what happened to them. We are surely believe that whenever the flood came, when everybody got on the ark, we are surely to believe Noah's family got on the ark and everybody else perished. We believe that Cain and his family and all his descendants was probably in that batch if they hadn't already died. But here we see they walk off the pages of the Bible. They walk off the pages of history. We don't know when they died. We don't know anything about their death. We don't know for sure what happened to them. But if you look ahead, if you see when we talk about the line of Seth, when we see the ones that trusted God, we see that their death is recorded. Their life is recorded. It said they live. The Bible doesn't say anything about Cain's descendants living. Surely they thought they lived. Surely they thought they were living their life, but they were living their life in vain. And the Bible doesn't record it. And it's a lesson for us, the people that think, boy, they're really living life. The ones in Hollywood, the athletes, the ones with a lot of money that we think are really living life. They don't know what we know as Christians. They don't know the great peace that we find in serving a Savior. And Cain's descendants, they didn't know the great peace that it would have been if Cain had just went back, if he had accepted an opportunity, if they had just went back, his descendants had went back and worshipped and acknowledged God and accepted the coming Redeemer. They do not know the peace. They do not know the happiness. They do not know the life that they would have lived. But notice Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In Genesis chapter 5, it talks all about the ones that come after Seth, the descendants of him, and how they lived and how they died. And it describes it in great detail. In other words, the descendants of Cain, it didn't matter. It wasn't important enough to history to write down in the Bible. Now, surely you look back in this world, by this world's standards, all the things they innovated, the things they created, they would have surely recorded that. And I believe the same goes for today. We see people recording different things and doing different things in the history books. They talk about everything, all the innovations of the automobile and the airplane and all the stuff such as that and all the medicines. And they talk about with great esteem the innovators in our history. But what they don't talk about when you get outside of the Christian realm, what is not talked about is innovators like Spurgeon, like Martin Luther, local preachers in this area like Mays Jackson and Billy Sunday and Billy Kelly and those preachers that's went on before, that's already in heaven, that's already received their reward. I want you to know, I want you to realize that in God's history books, that's the ones that matter. You look in the Bible, look at the ones that he recorded, the ones that served him, the ones that honored him, the ones that serve him are the ones that's going to matter. And I'm telling you today, it may not look to this world like you matter. As you head to church this morning, as you read your Bible, it may not look like you matter, but in God's history books, what you're doing matters. In God's history books, the preachers that stand behind the pulpit and stand faithful this morning to preach God's word, it's going to matter in God's history books. As this world, as they boast of sin, just as Lamech did. We see the boasting in verses 23 and 24, just as Lamech boasted about the murder. This idea that Cain got away with his murder as they lived in this great city that they had built and they was progressing. This idea that he got away with it. He even boasted to his wife about what he had done. He boasted about how he had murdered. He said, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounded and a young man to my hurt. He didn't do anything but wound him. He didn't do anything but hurt him. It might even have been an accident, but here he so boldly says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. He had got too full of himself, too full of his importance. But we see here, as far as I know, that's the last time that Lamech is ever mentioned in the Word of God. That last boasting, that's the last time that he ever says anything. That's the last time that he's ever mentioned, because in God's history books, he don't matter. In God's history, he don't matter. But there is a one, there is a people that matter, and that is the ones that follow Christ. Look at verse number 25. We didn't read this before. Chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 25, the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 19:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And many have said, right here we see the first revival. Even in those wicked days, the worship of God was not unknown. Here we see the first indication of a spiritual resurgence after a clear decline. Surely with Abel dead and Cain fled, it might have looked like God had forgotten his promise of a coming Redeemer. It might have looked like he had forgotten his promise to Eve that her seed would bruise Satan's heel. But I want you to see, I want you to realize, his plan wasn't shaken, and a new line that called on God began here from Seth. And through Seth, the seed of Christ came. The lineage was continued. And I want you to realize today, it may look dark. It may look like God ain't doing anything. It may look like God ain't working in 2024, but I assure you, God still has a people, and he is still working. He is still saving souls, and he will continue to save souls. Let us seek his presence. Let us not dwell in the land of Nod, not dwell in the land of discouragement, the land of running, of wandering away from God, but let's dwell in his presence, and let us worship him, and let us call on the name of the Lord. Let us call on to him for salvation. Let's call on him for help. Let us call on him on behalf of others, that they had come to him, that they would accept him, that they'd accept the Lord as their Savior. I challenge you, I encourage you today, if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, I challenge you, call on the name of the Lord and trust him for all eternity. Trust him to save your soul. Trust the price that he paid on Calvary's hill. Amen. I hope this message is a blessing.